This story in the Gospel of Matthew seems to take away the innocence and beauty of Christmas. Christmas was only 10 days ago with all of its joy and wonder. It feels too soon for that innocence to be packed up in red and green storage boxes, only to be brought out again next year. Yet, this is the hard truth of this text, a truth which we are not ready for, yet a truth that could not be more timely. Here's a little story. When I was working in juvenile corrections, every once in a while, one of the boys would run off. It was not, after all, a locked facility, and we spent a lot of time outdoors. Unless it was bitterly cold or some other danger presented itself, we would usually wait for the absconder to pop out of the woods onto the dirt road somewhere. Because the facility was out in the middle of nowhere, the nearest gas station was 8 miles away, and that's if the absconder chose the right direction to run. The wrong direction was 20 miles to the nearest town. After we picked him up on the road, he was not restrained in any way, but they were not allowed to wear their street clothes for a few days and were instead made to wear orange sweatpants and an orange sweatshirt. They were labeled a run risk on all the charts. I remember staff and other boys making fun of the absconder, often indicating in their taunting how stupid it was to try to run off. But I did not make fun of them, because somewhere in the deep recesses of my psyche, I knew that is exactly what I would do in their circumstances. I would definitely try to run, probably multiple times. Even if everyone indicated it was stupid to try, I would have panicked over the very idea of a loss of freedom, and I would have tried to run. Now, I don't know how I know that, but I think that kind of insight is the root of compassion for others, to understand and feel exactly what it would be like to be in another's shoes. I wonder if you can think of a time like that, perhaps even with your own children, as they struggle with friendships, with rejection, or the meanness of other children. Do you ever experience it almost as a flashback and know exactly how that felt? And so even though you can't fix it, you ache for them because you remember on a visceral level, you know what it's like. I wonder then if there is a way to cultivate that kind of compassion, that kind of achiness for others. My Facebook feed lit up this week with Christian people speculating whether or not Jesus could be considered a refugee in today's gospel. Because after all, Egypt was also a Roman territory under the same Roman occupation. Or could we call the Holy Family immigrants when they remained within the Roman Empire? That seemed like a lot of useless splitting of hairs. Mary and Joseph, in fear for their lives, had to flee their home to protect themselves and their child. Perhaps these days we find it necessary not to overly identify with them, certainly not to ache for them. In the current debate about immigration, it strikes me that there is a decided lack of compassion for the circumstances of the other. You can call them illegal aliens or undocumented immigrants or some other term, but can you and I feel for them and understand their suffering? You can say, well, they should have followed the law. Yet these days, some of them, following all the rules, have only to show up for their court date and be arrested on the spot, incarcerated in horrible conditions for an indefinite amount of time, disappeared, deported somewhere completely unknown to them. I've heard people callously say when some are separated from their families, well, they shouldn't have brought their kids here in the first place. That is how the debate is going these days. And so we can look at today's gospel in the same way, and in that same way, keep the Holy Family at arm's length, a safe distance, by also debating their status. Perhaps they weren't like the immigrants here. Joseph and Mary and Jesus were refugees for a time, fleeing for their lives, or at a minimum, trying to protect their child. They had to flee their homeland and never really go back. Joseph, hearing who had come into power after the death of Herod, decides it isn't safe to live in Judea, so he heads north to Galilee, to Nazareth, which was a veritable backwater, a boondocks at the time, a good hiding place. The nearby town of Sepphoris was much larger and probably where Joseph was able to get most of his carpentry work. It so happens that it is also in the Gospel of Matthew that we have the story or object lesson of the sheep and the goats toward the end of the Gospel, which concludes with the combined admonition and hope: whatever you do to the least of these, that you do unto me. For all of these reasons, we might identify with the undocumented, the immigrant, those who are fleeing for safety, for their lives, as Jesus and his family once were. It is likely this experience was one of Jesus' earliest memories, formative, and perhaps left an indelible mark on his psyche. There is a man who goes by the name of Tio, who sits outside the detention center here in Tacoma every day with his back against the fence. His back is covered with bruises from being hit by rubber bullets. He was asked by a reporter recently if he is protesting. He said, "No, it's much deeper than that. They've got my friend in there." With the current rise of authoritarianism and Christian nationalism, many have made comparisons to Nazi Germany. And if we were to study what happened then, we can observe that ordinary people first became provincial under the guise of patriotism, and they became insulated. Then they became suspicious of others. They proved their loyalty and saved themselves by turning others in. Finally, almost all morality and compassion was forsaken for self-preservation and survival. Keep your head down. Don't draw attention to yourself. Maybe it will pass. Just try to survive. Which may require one to ignore what is going on. The gospel today and every day calls us to do the opposite. Jesus calls us to deep compassion for others. The paradox call of our gospel is not self-preservation and survival. It is the opposite. Jesus said, "Whoever would lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will gain it." And also, "Whatever you do to the least of these, that you do for me." This then is a time for courage informed by compassion. The good news today is that you do not have to go it alone. In Christian community, this community of St. Luke's, you can find solace and find others who also want to walk through the world as best we can with courage and with compassion, being people brave and acting in love. A truth that could not be more timely. So do not be afraid of the ache in your heart, and do not ignore the ache in your heart. Instead, let it become a fountain of compassion, because ultimately we are here to walk each other home, a truth that could not be more timely and more important. We are here to walk each other home, come what may, cost what it will.